Big facts, bro.
Big facts, quarantine, lockdown, day 6.
Man, I don't know what the hell to do.
I'm going nuts. Planters.
I haven't had no good games out recently to play. Everything bores me.
Netflix bores me.
You know what ain't boring me? Nah, Netflix ain't boring me. Netflix actually holding me down.
Yo, shout out Castlevania Season 1. Rest in peace, Dracula. Shit got crazy. Shout out to the Belmont family. We definitely out here.
Okay. How did you like Season 1, OG?
It was lit. I ain't even gonna hold you. I picked it up on some, like...
You're just scrolling through the titles and you just come across.
I'm watching two series right now. I'm watching I got reincarnated by as a slime and I'm watching.
I heard about that manga.
The anime is lit. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I got Crunchyroll. So if you're trying to get up on it, let me know while you in quarantine.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
But yo, first of all, my favorite character is Arakawa. That's the young nigga. That whole story was lit. Now that you was trying to explain that shit to me, and I'm like, everything's coming to like light right now. Dracula and Lady Tempest. She was like a human who was in advance in science and the studies, and she was trying to bring all his knowledge to the humans, and they couldn't figure it out, especially the church. And they chose the body old girl because they can't have this new magic sorcery called science sweeping the nation. The church needed that tight grip on the villages, on the people of the land and country. Mm-hmm. What they fucked up is they burnt the wrong witch, and Lord Tepes had to come out, aka my young nigga Vlad. And he had to come out and really just give niggas that 1 year to get their shit together and to vacate the land. But on the day of the 1 year anniversary of the death of his wife, they chose to celebrate that shit instead of getting the hell up out of Dodge. And that's what happened. My son brung down the 1,000 armies. He's going to destroy the land of Wallace, and he don't give a fuck. And all his generals is like, alright, my nigga, so we gonna destroy all the humans, right? Like, let's just talk, like, figuratively speaking, who the fuck we gonna eat? This nigga like, I got storage of blood and all type of shit for you guys, this and that, so don't worry about it. This nigga like, yeah, I hear you. But nah, for real, like, real talk, like, who we gonna eat? And that's what caused his downfall. Plus, homie wasn't eating. No humans, no nothing. He over there weakening. The plan was just set up to fail. Like, I knew he was gonna fail.
Yeah.
Shout out to Cornelia. Mm-hmm. That's the female, one of the female general vampire bitches.
Yeah.
She's trying to rise up in power right now. The bald-head black nigga, he's about to start his own army of demons. Shout out to all the Forge Masters out there. Hector, he locked down right now. He got caught lacking. Hector, you too nice, bro. You too nice, bro. Like, shorty had to hit you with that chain. Now you got that thing around your collar. You feel me? New necklace. And now you fucked up.
Did you catch up to season 3?
I'm still to the part where Belmont gave Arakawa the castle up top and the Belmont family man.
So that's the ending of season 2. Season 3, which me and Jace was talking about last episode or previous episodes before, that was the one that was just came out. And the way they changed it was they made it more so in a series to be like 10 episodes. Mm. So instead of just doing the regular like 1, 2, or 3, like you got 10 actual episodes to just call it a season.
Okay.
So it was really lit.
It was riveting.
Yeah. I think you'd find it mind-blowing to the end. I'm telling you.
Yo. I'm going to have to check it out because I'm halfway there. And I'm going to touch upon my life as reincarnated as Islam. First of all, Matt, the whole premise of this show is this young, this 37-year-old man. Virgin. He's a businessman. He's climbing the social ladder. He's like up there in his office now. He's not like a boss, but she's climbing up the ladder, the corporate ladder, as all Japanese men aspire to be. Mm-hmm. And he got to a point where he has a kohai, and he looks up to him, and you know, he had a girlfriend, and one day he was like, you know, I want to show off my girlfriend to you, and let's like go out for drinks. So he meets up with his kohai, and he meets the girl. The only way they go get drinks and eat dinner, all of a sudden, madman comes out of nowhere and goes to stab his kohai. He jumps in the way and takes the hit. Now he's dying, and this computer is speaking to him and telling him, like, you know, just giving him all these skills and abilities. Mm-hmm. So he's like, man, I can't believe I got stabbed. This shit hurts. So now she's like, I'm going to give you unlimited power. Power, like, skill set. So, like, resistance to damage. Mm-hmm. Then he's like, oh, it's so hot. It's so warm. And he's like, it's too warm. Like, you know, he's feeling the blood and dying. And he's like, I'm going to give you... She's like, okay, I'm going to give you heat sensitivity so you gonna be so you won't be hurt by flames. And then she was like, I wish I was more aggressive with women. Now I'm a 37-year-old virgin. So she was like, skill set, predator. So it's so like a skill set where he absorbs a predator, and mm-hmm. then he can use the predator's ability. So he wakes up, and he's in this alternate universe, and he's a slime. He's like, literally, he's a slime ball. Like a little slime. It's cute, though. It's a little cute slime ball. He's in a cave, so now he's figuring out his powers. He's absorbing these magicules, that's crystals, mm-hmm. and he's absorbing plants, and he realized that the computer inside his mind, it's like he's playing a video game, mm-hmm. like an RPG, mm-hmm. and it's like analyzing the things that's in his body and this and stuff of that nature. So he meets up with this dragon that's locked away in the cave that he just happened to appear at when he reincarnated as a slime. Mm-hmm. And the dragon is like the Great Tempest Dragon with this thing called the Summoner sealed him away. And he can't get out. And he befriended the dragon, decided to absorb the orb that he sealed in mm-hmm. and with the dragon. And the dragon named him, and he named the dragons. So they befriend each other. So he has the orb. Like, it's crazy. It's like he's a little slime, like a little ball like this. Mm-hmm. But everything he absorbs, he stores in like this next dimension or some shit, but it's inside his body. So he has a gigantic, ferocious, like S-class level dragon in within a seal within his body. And they're trying to, he's like, I'm gonna keep you in there until I figure out how to break the seal. So he escapes the cave, and he absorbs like the cave monsters that was in there, and he turns their skills. So he gets like it's like a spider monster. He absorbs the monster, and he has a skill where he gets to shoot sticky or iron threat. He absorbs his armor clad lizard. So then he absorbs a skill where he can turn his body into armor, even though he is already has a skill set where he takes no damage. Mm. But it's just silly shit like that. He goes into this village of goblins that's being attacked by dire wolves, and he shoots off the main pack leader's head off, and he decides to name all the villages, and he has the direwolves and the goblins now working together under him. He goes to now a different land to get artisans to learn how to teach his goblins how to build the village up better so they can have a better, because he's in his mind, he's trying to create his own country now mm-hmm. within the game, because mm-hmm. to him he's playing a video game. But he's keep absorbing new monsters. He keeps getting new skill sets, and he's turning into like this ultimate god, but like nobody knows this. And it's just crazy to see how one slime ball can like change the whole playing field of the game.
I mean, it ain't really too far fetched, because we do got Chainsaw Man out there with Denji, who just like can go unlimited power, crazy reckless by pulling a
Bro, Denji can't beat Rimu.
I never said he could.
No, I'm just letting you know, bro. Like, real talk, when you watch this shit, bro, like, nobody really want to put him up there, because it's not like it's a fan favorite, but it's not like something everybody wants to, and especially one major key component, it's not a shonen. But bro,
nah, I'm not gonna
nigga
put it
can't
up
fuck
there.
With Rimuru, bro.
I'm just putting it more say to the one sidedness of like the cuteness and you know the little chainsaw, because remember Pochito was also there in the beginning with Denji before, like, you know, he had to make the ultimate sacrifice.
Like, but in the category of, they have these new animes now that's coming out where it's not new, but it's been happening over the course of 2 years, where these it's like an alternate reality slice of life in a way, where the main character will go into a different dimension, and to him it's like, to the world it's like a video game, bro. Like if you watch Rising Shield Hero, within his optics, he see icons, he see different weaponry, he see different different icons, but they can't see it. Mm-hmm. So they don't, it's like he's in a video game as a player, but the people in the world don't get it. To them, this is like a regular world. And he's playing in that world like a video game. That and the other one, The Gamer, which is an cool manoir if you ever want to get into it. Another manoir that's like that is Solo Leveling.
Okay. Well, it's good that we're getting into the, all of these new things, but we still got to go hit them with that old thing because the Shonen just dropped us yet bare heat on mad titles. So if we always got to go with what's selling and what's out there first, what we started with?
We definitely got to hit Demon Slayer since we already did the One Piece.
Yes, sir. So chapter 199.
Yep. Chapter 199, shit got crazy. And the next episode coming in 7 days, baby. Next chapter, sir. Baby. We finally get into the final leg of destroying the shit out of Muzan.
Sunrise is here.
Sunrise. And I ain't talking about the studio. We're talking about Sunrise. Shout out to Gotoji. He's really been holding it down. I'm thinking he's at this point where he's like, I can't stress this shit out no more. Let's finally get to killing this goddamn Muzan. Muzan is seeing the sunrise. Chapter 199, Millennium Dawn. He's in panic. He's in a state of panic. He is like, what the fuck? And we still have these pests that he likes to call the pests, but we like to call them the motherfucking pillars.
Pillars is in heat and action, son. Muzan is doing another shockwave by what it looks like, and he just blasting them off of him temporarily. But what is this? My son Tanjiro lost the arm.
Tanjiro, a.k.a. Shanks, lost his arm. He's still fighting. Whatever you do, don't let go. Make your blade turn red. Keep your heart burning. Turn red, please. He's talking to himself as he's still in his final leg of the battle with Muzan. And now
who do we have helping and assisting him to complete the blade turning red?
My man, Gio.
What a pillar.
Flow like water, baby.
Yes, sir.
Now, both one-armed pillars. First of all, pause. No two men on one sword. But anyway, they're defeating Muzan. Muzan cries in agony. He's getting hit with the burning red sword. And on top of that, he's getting hit with the sun rays of the sunrise from the sun. And he's thinking to himself, if I shrink my body, it'll burn in an instant. Because he's trying to get out of the stab wound. And that's basically the situation he's in. But with a flesh as my armor, I could protect myself. So now he comes up with this grand idea to layer himself with more flesh so it can protect his actual body from the sun rays, from the sun. And Giyu is now realizing, hey, he got bigger. So Tanjiro kicks Giyu to the side, and he enters now the mass amount of flesh that's been, you know, created by Muzan, as Muzan is looking like a flesh-ridden baby vampire, a giant baby vampire at that, and his flesh is burning at the same time simultaneously as the sunrise is hitting him. Now we have Big Boss Man, aka new leader.
He's definitely saying, don't let him into the shade, drop it now. They got all types of books, any attempt to, you know, stop Muzan at all costs.
Yo, they dropping libraries on this nigga, bro. Like, it's like, by any means necessary, we have to kill his men.
Then it was like, next, go, keep on him. My man Muzan is trying to go ahead and get up. They ramming this man with cars, bro.
By any means necessary.
Watch out, fall back.
Baby Muzan crush. Let's call him Giant Baby Muzan crushes. It's funny because he's aging like 10,000 years, like a second, but he's like now at the state of a giant baby,
bro.
Like ironic. So they crush. They crush the car, and now he's just sitting there. They still sit here like, yo, what the fuck can we do, bro? It's like he's in the sunlight and he's still wreaking havoc on us. Boss man, like, now push, block his way. They like, okay, let's do it. So now they're pushing over a trolley to keep Muzan at bay so he can keep getting hit by these sun rays. All the the demon corpse stand firm no matter what. The Hashira can't fight anymore. It's like, bro, we have to assist them at any point, bro. By any means, hold fast, keep pushing. We're all together, so don't be afraid. Like, no, fall back together, stay alive. I'll think of another plan. But it's like, it's crazy. Like, these guys are willing to risk their lives to defeat Muzan. Like, the whole purpose of this whole organization is to defeat Muzan, bro. Mm-hmm. And you just see the bravery from these young soldiers really risking their lives.
And then the Wind Pillar makes his entrance. Wind Breath in ninth form. Eye of the Ten Typhoon.
Bro.
Man saying, what a tough bastard. Hurry up and die, you piece of crap.
Oh, God. Shout out to the Wind Pillar. Still alive. Still holding down. Still got most of his limbs.
Know what I'm saying? He's climbing over. Oh no, what should we do?
So now Muzan's climbing over the trolley. Everybody's in disarray.
And who do we got with chains in hand? Rock Pillar!
Boy, Rock Lee!
Rock Pillar just holding it down.
He got a nigga the new chain, like, oh, where this?
So we notice, Bobby, that Muzan has now lost one of his baby arms.
Yes.
Baby arm is gone now.
Rock Pillar is pulling for his life. Then you have the Demon Corpse soldiers helping him in pushing, holding back Muzan. Yeah, this shit is crazy, bro. This is a team effort. Muzan is now falling back, crying like a little baby with his arm missing. And
he's saying, come on, disintegrate, burn, damn you.
It's like the sun. Yo, this sun is not hitting hard enough, bro. Like, this nigga got
SP50. It's too much flesh for right now, bro. And then he was like, please, father, mother, sister, God. So Muzan is taking some effects from the sun, but they realize that he's clenching onto the ground, trying to dig his way into the ground. Mm.
So he's a slimy bastard, bro.
They're saying attack will Muzan's strength. While he low and on the ground, get him now. Don't give him no opportunity to reach. My son Giyu coming with water breath technique 10th form, constant flux. But he realized that one-handed strike cuts is too shallow, so Wind Pillar goes now and does the fifth form wind breathing technique, cold mountain wet.
Then Iguru!
Serpent breathing fourth form, twin headed reptile.
Bro, snake, wind, and water pillars are putting in every last bit of strength they have. You can see my son Rock Pillar chains has snapped. Mm-hmm. Everyone is at their limit. We can't do much more, bro. Y'all niggas been fighting for 40 hours. I'm not like, bro. Like, please just die. It's no use, bro. Like, yo, Muzan, just fucking die, bro.
But who do we have's hand emerging from within Muzan's body?
It's your boy, a.k.a. Young Tanjiro, a.k.a. Demon Slayer Shanks, a.k.a. Young Sun Breather. He's coming, bro.
Coming and trying to slice Muzan off his neck again, you feel me? So Muzan is just disintegrating while burning slowly. And that's the ending of the chapter.
As we would like to think, hopefully by next chapter, at least. Because right now, in page 19, mm-hmm. I'm going to go do a rough estimate that he's is about 40% disintegrated.
Yeah.
About 40. Good 30 to 40% disintegrated right now. Hopefully the numbers drop, the percentile definitely goes up. But for right now, bro, it seems like we're getting to this last leg of actually defeating Muzan, and this shit is getting crazy, bro.
It is, bro. And what do we give this chapter? I'm going with platinum.
I'm gonna go with a platinum because it's just showing promise that we see that Godeji is not trying to dick us around no more. And you know, with the let's keep Muzan alive for 500 chapters, I feel like in the next 3 chapters we're definitely going to see the end of Muzan. But I feel like he got one more ass pull.
Well, you know, we about to reach chapter 200 in Demon Slayer, so who's to say?
But I definitely feel like he got one more ass pull in him.
Okay, OG, we got a platinum for Demon Slayer. What are we jumping into next?
I'm gonna do a little overview of Black Clover and My Hero Academy, because it definitely got crazy.
Which one first, My Hero or the Black?
I'm gonna do Black Clover, because Tabata, I'm definitely just hyped for the fact that my mans have returned. It's getting a little bit too crazy out here. My mans had to return, bro. My man Yami. So, giving you a little overview, because my son Matt, he definitely getting the spoilers right now. Asta is at his... He's very livid right now. He's very upset.
Okay.
They killed Gaush, and he's not having it, bro. Like, the man forced him. You know how, like, when you force a character to get in, like, an extreme rage, and then they, like, latent power comes out? Mm-hmm. He's in berserk mode right now. The demon has fully taken over him, and he's going against the top king of this, or the current king of the Spade Kingdom, and that's Dante. Mm-hmm. Dante uses gravity magic, as I explained to you before.
Yeah.
You want it?
Yeah.
Go to 244. You gotta see these things, my man.
My man?
Alright, so I'm on page one. Uh-huh. You know, Dante is the king of the Spades Kingdom, and he's just like wreaking havoc. He's basically trying to bring out Asta's latent powers and to show Asta that you need to be a demon. It's fun. It's natural order. It's your power. Dante uses gravity magic heavy in fighting. And he's very pompous and arrogant. He feels like he's much stronger than Asta. He's mad that Asta got the one up on him. He never expected Asta to touch his face. Mm-hmm. And that's what Asta did. You can see the marks that's on his face right now on page two. And he's like, right now, I feel like laying my fist on you now. Like, he feel like throwing them hands. And he hit him with the motherfucking JoJo. 1,000 fists. Shout out to my man Tabata, because he's definitely going in, bro. Gouch is dead. One of the Black Bull members, I forgot her name. Nero. She's going through it. She's bringing it back to where she was a young child, being antagonized by her sisters. Mm-hmm. After, you know, their mother has gone mad again and left them to peril. And she's thinking about how when she was at her lowest, who was there? Gouch. Gouch was there to help her, bring her into the Black Bull's court. She saved her from ultimately being raped by a bunch of bandits. And she's like, I can't just sit here and be weak. I cannot sit here and not be able to do nothing for him. So she puts on her big girl pants, and she basically went arcane level overnight, and now is on her way to reviving Gouch in his womb. Mm-hmm. She was never able to do that. Her power was never stretched that far. And right at the time that Gouch is being revived, Asta just got knocked the fuck out by Dante. Dante is a arcane level zero. He's very strong. He's as strong as the Emperor Wizard. So I'm impressed by Asta for even lasting so long in this fight. Now it just seems like all is lost. Dante even realized that Nero can do this regeneration. Now he's like, you know what? Now you guys will be my woman. Because he realized he has a shorty that could use a cat that could alter reality. Now he has an ultimate healing chick on the Black Bulls. He feels like, and his arrogance and his pompousness, he's like, no, you all gonna be my bitches. But the main man comes in, captain of the Black Bulls, aka I work out every day and smoke cigarettes, aka One Store Shadow Style, aka the King of Darkness, and that is my man Yami. He is coming. He's seen that the Black Bulls are in turmoil, and he's ready to put the beats on his bitch nigga ass, Dante. And that's where the chapter ends. This is what we all expected to happen. This is what we all been waiting for to happen. And that's for my man Yami to pull up and put the beats on his nigga Dante. Now, I'm very impressed at Asta for lasting so long against Dante. It wasn't expected, but hey. You could tell like the demon powers are nothing to fuck with. Mm-hmm. And in the coming chapters, it's definitely going to be a catalyst to defeat to winning the war. Definitely giving us a Star Platinum because Yami came back and returned. Star Platinum because Nero reached a new level. Mm-hmm. Star Platinum because we get to see more of Dante's gravity magic. And definitely, that's what we want to see. We want to see what these villains are made of. Mm-hmm. And I definitely think the next chapter is going to be Fuego Flame. Speaking of another Fuego Fame chapter, we're definitely going to move on to the My Hero real quick. Just give you an overview of the chapter. The heroes are now like in the third stages of the takeover. They're calculating, looking at the blueprints of the mansion of the League of Villains and how they're going to extract, basically, oh no, how they're going to decimate and eliminate all the villains and foil their plans. So now they reach the underground cave that leads into the actual mansion, It's like an all-out battle, bro. Sun Eater's getting in, Gum Gum getting it in, the fucking Kochi getting it in. It's getting crazy, bro. You just see like the young heroes like Sun Eater. They're definitely just taking it up a next level. They definitely definitely it was a boost in power over the break. Mm-hmm. You see my man use Dark Shadow on page 4.
Yo, he's always been an interesting hero, son.
Bro, like, never seen Ragnarok, bro. Like, this is new to me. Then we get to the point where Reed Destro, he's the former leader of the League of the Paranormal Army Front. He after the fight with Shigaraki, he definitely lost his legs, and he's trying to use his quirk to repress the Ragnarok, and it was working at first, but the pressure from the attack, his robotic legs cannot take the pressure, and they started to break under the pressure. Mm-hmm. But I'm very impressed that my man Ragnarok's ability move definitely took out one of the main bosses that Shigaraki had problems taking down. So it just shows that the young kids of the UA, the young class 1A, they definitely had a huge power boost. So now they discovered the secret passage. Fat Gum is complimenting all his interns. They definitely doing their thing between Sun Eater and my man Kochi. And we move on to now. Fat Gum is bringing all his interns, well, a couple of interns aside, his Fat Gum body to store them while he surveys the underground hideout and to, you know, penetrate and eliminate all the League of Villains or Paranormal Army Front members. Now we get back to Hawks. Hawks is now in a one-on-one crazy battle between him and Twice. Hawks is definitely, he's telling Twice basically, like, I can't take it easy on you. I can't get sentimental. I have to kill you. I don't care how nice you are. Either I'm going to kill you or you're going to come with me. And I have to prioritize speed, because when taking down villains, you guys are too crafty, you guys are too shady, I always got to trick up your sleeve, I got to do this nice and fast. Mm-hmm. He has the feather blade now, he subdues Twice, he has his feather blade now to his face, and he's ready to put an end to him. But as all heroes, he cannot kill without proper reason. And with that hesitation led his demise. Dobby comes out of nowhere, blue flame, evil blue flame, and barbecues the shit out this motherfucking chicken. Fried chicken. Dobby now has the bottom of his boot over Hulk's face, a fried Hulk. And he said, looks like sentiments tripped you up after all, hero. And that's how the chapter ends. Definitely got a shout out to my man 40 for definitely seeing, we haven't seen his end yet in his demise, but this is definitely leading up to Hulk's. Is looking like it's leading up to Hulk's dying in the next couple chapters. Mm-hmm. Which we don't want to see, but hey. I mean, it is what it is. It's the story. Definitely giving us a star platinum.
Now, it's going to get me tight, because when I actually do catch up to this shit and I get and I find Hulk's to be a lit character, I'm going to be tight if he die.
Bro. Well, I feel like if he meant to die, he meant to die. That's it.
Well, no argument there. But what we giving this My Hero?
I'll tell you, Star Platinum, bro. Star Platinum, because it's just every motherfucking chapter we see new heroes, we see their new development, we see our favorite heroes, we see heroes that we never even got a glimpse at. And that's what we want to see in the title, bro. Mm-hmm. It's like the whole story cannot be centered around Deku and Bakugo and their little Sasuke Naruto friendship that they got going on, or how All Might lost his power and he's depressed. Like, I don't care about that anymore, bro. I want to see new shit, bro. And that's what we're getting to see. We get to see our favorite heroes power up. Mm-hmm. And we get to see new heroes and how they move and what they're about.
Alright, so,
and shout out to Horikoshi for always, Horikoshi's holding it down. Like, nobody really talk about My Hero like that because the sales ain't really up there with Demon Slayer. But Horikoshi has the makings of a great Oda. He's definitely taking his time with the story. He's definitely giving us what we like. I feel like My Hero Academia is on his way to being a One Piece. But he's doing it very sneakily. He's not, you know, like, he's not trying to get all crazy. He's not with the stars and he's not trying to pour mad fan service and Like, he just, he's taking his time. He's stunting, but he's letting you see, like, he's stunting. Like, he's not putting it in your face, like, yeah, nigga, we getting money out here. Like, he's just letting you see it.
I feel you.
He's letting you see it. Quote me on this before we get into Promise Neverland. Quote me on this. My Hero Academy is on course to be in the next One Piece, bro. Nobody was looking at One Piece when they first came out, bro. Nobody thought One Piece was going to make it this far, bro. Mm-hmm. It's because it's that cartoony Luffy. Ha, 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 yeah, yeah. And then that nigga Oda wound up making the best story on niggas. Y'all sitting here like, huh? What?
Well, we knew this from when he created it.
No, come on, bro. Come on, bro. When we first started this journey, bro, like, I put One Piece down, bro. Because I'm sitting here like, bro, I'm not, bro. Naruto... First of all, with Naruto, and you're a young teen, and just your attention span is like the size of a pea. Like, titles like Naruto and DBZ would grab your attention because it's nothing but action. Even Naruto with all the sadness and philosophy that goes on. Bro, when that hand-to-hand come,
yeah,
it's a wrap. I never really got... And I'll say, like, One Piece definitely not the best for fights. Like, I'm not...
The best for fights. It's great for storytelling. I mean, the fight scenes is only lit because certain people have fandoms towards certain characters.
Yeah.
So, the Zoro fans, the Luffy fans, the Sanji fans. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I feel like now in the Wano season, he's definitely catering to the new style of, like, action pacing. Mm-hmm. And I see it. It's looking a little quicker. It's getting a little to the point. But come on, that fight with Katagiri and Luffy.
What's gonna drag is when they gotta bring this. Oh, when they gotta tell the story of Odin and his chapters. Boy, they're gonna have an Odin chapter for every episode. Odin's chapter and log is about to be its own separate season.
That's it. It's gonna be its whole season. Its season Wano B arc.
But yes, leading us to the manga that never lets us down in no way. The Promised Neverland, chapter 172. Peter Rattray is at a wit's end. Nothing ain't going his way.
Can we talk about the color?
Oh yeah.
Can we talk
about? No, I mean, I was just giving a little story back.
I was before. Like, no, because I'm looking at the color. Yeah, I was like, yo, this was some
chapter,
color.
Chapter 172 had some beautiful illustrations.
Beautiful.
It was just like Peter Rattray is in the corridors with Emma now. She's the one who made the promise. They haven't implemented the promise yet. And as long as I kill Emma, everything is going to go our way. We see this beautiful scene of Norman, Emma, Ray. They're playing chess. You know, very some nice art by Pusuka Demozu. Yeah.
Nah, these color panels are great. I just like the realism. It looked like it was a cartoon, but at some point, I mean, to be honest, this is like a light novel. It's like a light novel, bro. Like the way the coloring and the shading is with the highlights and the, like whatever the highlights on her bangs is more yellowed and orange, and then they fuse into the orange, and then the shadowing on Peter Rattray's forehead under his bangs.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely looking like a light novel more than a manga, but I can't front, bro. This shit is beautiful. Then the cover page when we have with the cover spread for 172 free with Ray, Emma, and Norman playing chess, and it seems that they're like in a little cabana, a little library hideout, I could say. But it's just, bro, art is just great, bro, because it reminds you of like old time bedtime story writing, because it's not very detailed, like it's not detailed, bro. Okay. But it's just the offness of it. It makes it just look just right, bro. This just like sample panels, right? That they bring, like, you know how like when they're first putting up the storyboard, and it's like these are like the samples. Like, all right, this is how it's gonna look. This and that. Like, it looks like it never got to the perfected version, but it still looks good, bro. I can't front. Maybe this is the style of it. I can't front. It still looks great. So we get to page 5. And Peter Rattray is just at his all-time humblest. He knows he's defeated, but he has his one trump card. He has his knife that's in the back of his hand, and he's going to use it to kill Emma and take away the promise. Please, don't shoot me. I've lost. It's over. There's no future for me. They have a revolution and a glorious future waiting for them, while I'm about to fall from grace and go to hell. No, you all are done too. If I kill Emma, the promise will never be implemented. You'll go back to hell, you bitch. Back to Graceville. I'm taking you down with me. This nigga is... He lost his minds. He lost his marbles. He has 5 million screws loose in that brain, bro. Come die with daddy, my children. Just a bit more. He's anticipating Emma walking closer so he can stab the shit out of her. And she was like, and then Emma just hits him. She just hits him with the I was wrong. No, wait, my fault. Peter hits him with the I was wrong. I can do it. He's basically in his mind, he's plotting on stabbing her, and outside he's being the snake rat bastard that he is, and he's trying to get her to come closer by yielding and acting like he surrendered, by saying things like, I was wrong, I'll do anything, please don't shoot me. Mm-hmm. And in his mind he's like, I could do it. If I can get a little closer, I can kill her. 3 more steps, 1 more step. But Emma not playing. She got that Glock handy, and right before he tries his sneak attack,
Plot armor out the ass. Because no one saw this scenario coming. We don't intend to kill you. We came here to talk to you. What?
Nani?
What?
Nani?
Out of everything that's fucking going down and everything that he done to you, this is what you say? Emma, man.
In his mind, he was like, talk? Huh? What is this kid saying?
Inviolable non-interference. We won't retaliate or attack the Ratchet clan in any way. In return, we want you to approve our freedom. We'll all go to the human world. We want you to approve and not get in the way to leave us alone. Peter Ratchet is like an idiot. She's an idiot. Like, she gonna let me live? Like, she wants to talk? Is she crazy?
After all I've done?
And then she was like, you're going to forgive me? Really? You're going to? And then we have a little flashback scenario cutscene, you know what I'm saying, OG, where Emma is talking with the group, trying to convince them of, like, the conversation. And they, even the girl's saying, like, I can't forgive them. And like, no, I'm never going to forgive them. And she's even asking Emma, like, how could you? How could you feel sorry for them? Forgive them? And even Emma's telling her, like, I can't forgive them. There's no way I can. I hate them. But she also adds that she miss Hugo and she miss Lucas. R.I.P. to Hugo and Lucas, because we can't forget that sacrifice that they did.
Those are the bros.
Bro, holding it down in the shelter, giving them food, nourishment, survival, guns to defend themselves against what?
Come on. Yo, he thought about to use the Glock.
What they did to Mary and them, Norman and his friends, the fact that they built hunting grounds and a system and the farms in the world is unforgivable. Chris hasn't woken up yet either.
Baby Chris!
Emma's just angrily just telling Ratchet, like, yo, I can't forgive you, but I don't want to resolve this by killing you. And I respect that, because that's always been Emma's way.
And that's going to be the cycle, bro. Hate upon hate upon hate upon hate only brings hate, bro. Somebody got to be the one to stop and bring some motherfucking love in this equation.
Shit. So, Emma's just going saying, as you already said, hating, resenting, fearing, can't do that anymore. All those feelings, they don't want that no more. Emma's just like, we want to smile, we want to be free. Shackled down for too long, OG, I can relate to that. Corona got us all locked up right now.
All's my life. All's my life.
So, I could definitely understand Emma's pain. It's like, that's what we've been fighting for all this time. It's not just for our fate or circumstances, hatred or fear. We don't want to be imprisoned by anything anymore. I definitely respect that. Because we want to be free. It's hard to forgive, but unless we do, we won't truly be free.
Big facts.
So, everyone is just saying, we got it. It won't be easy to get through them. Even so, I don't want to abandon communicating. I want to talk it out. So... Emma, you're such a softie. Those are words of a dreamer. And of course, you know, Emma giving a little sad look, but fine, bring it on. Let's go as far as we can. Of course they all shot, because Emma, when have you not gotten your way? When has everyone not ever been on your side? Out of all the crazy shit that's done happened, you always wanted to go the safest route.
Right, bro.
Bro.
Emma, she's always right, bro. It's like, even the shit she's spitting now, bro, is she's right. And her own context, she is right, bro.
Yeah. So there's like, we've come this far already anyway. it's for our dear future. I don't want to regret anything. So their sole objective is to win and have a discussion with Peter Rattray. So the demons are now waking up from this, from the sleeping gas, and they realize that they're not dead. What's going on? The demons were only eating to live. Mom and the staff's only choice to survive was serving us to the demon. And Julius Rattray just didn't want to see any more people die in war. So you know what I'm saying? Like, we also, they killed in order to survive. Can't be indifferent to the suffering of Mom and Julius, and I can't criticize them for being weak. She's thought about it all, Jay. Emma has put a lot into this thought process that she has been like before she even got up to Rattray and before she
went to this movie. She's thinking like a Buddhist monk, bro. She's not like these normal, she's not food, first of all. She's not like these regular humans. She's not like these regular demons, bro. She is the god. She is the goddess of Gracefield, nigga. That's her new name, the goddess of Gracefield.
So if demons weren't creatures that are humans, maybe they could have been on our friends. If I had been born in the Rattray clan, maybe I could have done something for children. If you were born in Gracefield, could we have been friends? Yo, Jay, I'm not even going to front to you. This page right here on page 18 just made me think for 2 seconds. What if this symbol is just saying that the requirement that he wanted was, if Peter Rattray died, you got to be the new leader of the Rattray clan? It just popped into my head for two seconds, but I don't know.
I can't wait till you get to page 19, because you ain't, because I want
you. I just hit it just now. Just because our positions are different, we fight, degenerate, and hate each other. But if we take away our positions, we could think that way. Maybe we wouldn't have to hate each other.
Bro, I feel like this chapter came at the right time.
Yeah.
Shout out to my man Shariah.
I see it, OG, that little coronavirus.
Coronavirus. Y'all niggas telling me that Promise Neverland don't be audited. You're stupid. You're stupid.
You're stupid. So Emma is just even telling Rattray even further, like, you also had your own sense of justice as you protected the two worlds, right? I was raised as food, and I can't ever forgive you for what you did to us, but there are people who were protected by the Rattray clan sacrificing us. I'm sure you had your own struggles, like protecting the world or choosing the world over your family. You also had a fate you were burdened with from the moment you were born. Let's be free. We're all prisoners. The demons, humans, yes, both you and us. But the world will change. We can change it now. Emma's just releasing the gun from her hand and just saying, reaching out her hand and just keep on saying, let's change. Let's end this 1,000 years of suffering now. Let's live together, Peter Rattray. Giving him the option. My man Rattray is nervous as fuck, but I do not trust this nigga Rattray. Because you can't trust a slime ball. What's a slime ball? Oh, it's a slime ball.
What's a fucking slime
ball? He liable to do some crazy shit, bro. He not, and like, even if he did hear you out, just did that to just get the advantage just to one-up you. But as far as rating for this chapter, platinum, son. How could we not?
This is platinum, nigga. Nigga hit us with the virus.
Had corona in the back.
Yo, he had corona in the back, boy. What are you talking about? This whole leader. First of all, you know, you automatically get into a anime when you relate. And yes, when everything is like, everything in Promised Neverland is so like, you could, it's so relatable to real life right now through metaphors, through the demons and the food.
Yes,
come on, the food are us. We are the slaves. Demons are the nobility. They're eating us. They're keeping us. Yo, this whole manga is a fucking metaphor to our life, and nobody be peeping, bro.
Yeah, you right, bro. You definitely right, son.
Star Platinum, bro.
Have to be, bro. Have to be. Can't be anything but. But now we got, you know, Dr. Stone, Man, Senku, and Ryu, chapter 144. Yeah, so chapter starts off with Ryosa and Senku. They're going to have a poker showdown, you know. And it's Ryosa and Gen versus Senku and Kohaku. So, you know, we got some nice, beautiful panels of everyone in their suits and the ship going across. the seas as this vast journey begins to start and undertake its process of going to the moon.
Yo, shout out to Jace for not knowing what manga when I sent him the Corona. This nigga.
Oh, man. So, yes, we have the showdown between the ship captain and the science captain to decide the route across the ocean to see which one they're going to take. Ryosu is opting for the longer but easier route, while Senku wants the tougher route that'll get us there quick. You got Team Ryusa versus Team Senku, OG. And everybody's bet. Some people are betting on Ryusa because Gen is on his side. He got sneaky tricks and they can't lose. You know what I mean? And
so they thought.
Suki is just saying that, like, she don't even know what this betting means, but Ryu seemed to be good in it, so I'm putting my money on him. You know what I mean? Then the science team just like, yo, y'all mad dumb. Y'all don't even realize Kohaku's eyesight. And then Senku never wrong in his prediction, so he gonna win regardless. So now we have the game starting off. My son Gen just starts and brushes his elbow against the cards. Know what I'm saying? Reshuffling it in a certain format. And then Kohaku just automatically just catch him by the wrist, bro.
What are you doing?
Nigga, don't try that. He was like, that's odd. If my eyes believe me, it seems that you just put specific card on top, Gen. Of course I'm willing to admit I was wrong if the card on top isn't the Ace of Hearts. Card is the Ace of Hearts, bro.
Of course it's the Ace of Hearts. It's fucking Gen. This whole chapter was bare cheatery and trickery. This whole chapter taught me how to go to the casinos, bro. I'm like, first of all, I gotta put a little beetle on my sleeve and sprinkle some sugar. Wait, no man. Me not wait. Hold on.
Bro.
Son. I feel like first of all, I told you Senku was gonna win this shit. Like, first of all, I already knew Senku was gonna win. Ryu said he's the GOAT, but he's not the main character, bro.
Obviously.
He's definitely not. Niggas is going all in for the first battle. Real talk, this card game was not about Ryo or Senku winning, bro, or even the context of the game, bro. This whole shit was about how bad Kohaku could catch Gen cheating, bro. That was it, bro. Ryo was playing straightforward. And it's funny because I knew Ryo said was going to lose because everybody is playing straightforward. Mm. I mean, well, Ryo was playing straightforward and everybody else is definitely cheating. Even Senku cheated with that fucking fifth Ace of Spades. What the fuck? It's not five aces in the deck, bro.
Nah, but he didn't have five aces. He had a royal flush.
But you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you mean.
He made that ace. Look, the ace on Ryu's, what's his name? When he had all aces, four of a kind?
Yeah.
The suits look all the same. You get what I'm saying? They're the same size. The spade, the heart, the clover, everything the same size. When you look at Senku's now, his shit is smaller than the actual aces and how they are portrayed. So Senku actually cheated and put an extra card into the deck.
You said I see his size.
Okay, now look at the sizes, right?
Okay.
Look at his ace of spade. Look at the heart. That's what I'm going by.
Okay.
Now look at Senku's ace of spade.
All right, Jay. Now you gotta take into consideration. His own is just I see the sizing difference, but I don't really think that's it. I was just really per saying that he did the little trick that he did with the edge of the cards, you know, had the little scent on it and he was able to smell it out. But it's because the cards aren't aligned together like how he had it, I feel. Why it's not, bro, like that?
Look at Ryusei's aces, right?
Yeah.
Look how big all the aces, the symbols.
First of all, between aces, how the fuck is it possible for you to pull four aces when all four aces is already there? Like,
that's what I said. Everybody was cheating except for Ryusei, bro. He's playing a straight game.
It's not even about the size of the aces. Like, Senku just fucking had the extra ace even fucking there in the first place.
He literally made an extra ace, bro. He cheated too.
Bro.
This whole game was not about playing a fair game of motherfucking poker. This nigga cheated.
So then we even have like Senku taking the chips. He's revealing to them like,
oh yeah, what was his? First of all, let's break down all the cheatery, bro.
So
because everybody cheated, bro. Even Kohaku cheated.
She
grabbed cards from the middle of the deck, bro.
Because Senku, but hold on, but how did she? Because Senku told her the order, no? He told her which order and sequence of which to grab, and she grabbed it.
Yeah.
So
she cheated too. I'm just bringing to the point where let's look at all the cheatery going on.
Well,
but my boy Rio said he's honorable.
Ain't nobody playing honest when it seemed to the course of this action that they taken to choose this route. So by any means necessary, okay. As long as I win.
So we got Kohaku grabbing from the middle of the deck. We have the bit of magic number 2, where he takes the salt or sugar and sprinkled it on. This is again sprinkling on top of the deck, and then when another card is on top, it will slide differently, making it easier identifiable, so he can get the right card that he wanted. That's another cheating. The first cheating was this nigga fucking around with the cards. This nigga again, honestly, he cheated more than everybody in the fucking game.
Yes, but it was just interesting how just whole Kohaku just instantly always caught him every time that he did, and he realized there was a bug up his sleeve.
That bug like sugar, and every time it was the card that he marked, the bug would react, and he would know that is the card that he was supposed to pick up.
Like, this is the part that's really getting me though now. Like, you saying that Ryusa didn't cheat or anything, but in fact, Senku even made it like to reality, like while everybody wasn't even looking, you know what I'm saying? Like, Gen had the perfect opportunity to just slide Ryu the cards while everybody was just focusing on the deck.
I would give it to you that he was sliding him the cards, but I wouldn't say he was sliding him under the table. I felt like he would, because Ryusei is so straightforward, he aligned it so when Ryusei would draw the cards, it would be the cards that he want. But I still hold to it, Ryusei did not cheat this whole game. He played a straightforward game. Gen did all the cheating. Kohaku did all the cheating. Senku did all the cheating. Ryusei played a straightforward game. In his mind.
Well, we came out with the winner Senku on top. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but let's talk about how Senku cheated.
Okay, he used the Yuishiro. Wait.
He used a whole new ace that he made
from the fucking new ace that came out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, but then again, when it comes to certain poker games, they definitely do have, they probably play with more aces than they need and other shit. So I'm not even going to hold you like it's not a possibility. But the way that his method went was that he used Yuishiro, soaked it from the liqueur of, like, you know, the edge of his sleeve, and started rubbing off the cards that he needed so that he would know where to find each and every one. So it's not like he had an extra one. He just knew how to just go and find them. You know what I'm saying?
But bro, there's no 5 aces in the deck.
As I said, when playing poker, it's different.
Okay.
Poker is a different thing. You can add more than one deck. Is what I'm trying to explain to you. Like, it is a possibility. Maybe not.
I would read this shit for myself. How many decks?
And if I'm wrong,
do you use
while playing poker?
That could be 52 cards, bro.
Okay.
Bro, I'm sorry, bro, and I don't see 5 aces, bro. This nigga cheated, son.
Well, it's either he cheated or it was just that shitty
battle. Poker traditionally has to be played with one deck.
Okay.
Yeah, bro.
Well, I guess he cheated.
He cheated, bro. You can tell how that card looked, bro. All the aces have the big suits, bro. His suit is small, bro. I'm sorry, man. Your man's cheated. He uses the Yuishiro, soaked it up with liqueur that he had conveniently. Yeah, bro. I'm telling you again, bro, because this is how he cheated.
You're telling me again what I just said, it, bro?
This is how he cheated, bro.
Like,
then you see this dumbass nigga chrome in the back, like, these are the things that sounds like liqueur wouldn't do. He's like, yes, I know, bro, I know, because I took that shit and I used it to cheat. But that Yuishiro stuff is is see-through, so nobody can see, right? How could Senku tell which cards were there? And then you see that puffy-ass face.
Because he's allergic to this shit. He's a damn cheater.
Alright, so...
The man of science.
This chapter is just platinum because everybody's level of cheatery is just superb in its sense, so... I ain't even going to have to just discuss it or go on anything else. So going on to the next and last chapter for the discussion, Chainsaw Man, chapter 63. We start off with Denji, Shark Boy on the floor. Tulka has completed what what his master has asked of him. Completed the job that was assigned, he became a fully fledged devil hunter now. He's like, Master, can we talk later? Let's hurry up and move him. Then she just like, hesitant for a moment. There's no need to move that body. You've always followed my instructions diligently. There were times when I was hard on you, but it was all for your own good. He was like, I don't understand. You're part of the family now too. Just like all of the time that they was bonded and shit. He was like, Toka, I'll tell you the secret to making a sophisticated doll. The human, you'll turn into a doll and add emotion only humans have. Adoration, worship, pity. And the secret ingredient, guilt. She then now go places her hand on his shoulder. Man is looking like he's having some sort of shock. Know what I mean? And she's saying, it's finished.
There's no need to move that body. You Bro. Completed the job I assigned to you. You become a full-fledged devil hunter.
Son, like, I don't get it. Like, he we just have... Germany Santa Claus now back on the scene.
I was wondering when he was going to pop up to the scene, bro. I was wondering. Because he was in the snowy woods killing animals.
Nah, if you remember, he was already in the city and within the vicinity, within the tower, the coffee shop tower, making them go ahead and making the dolls run loose into the mall. But now Lady Kwanzi is going on and the fighting octopus devil now. Devil hunter.
Yeah.
So they having an elite intense battle scene now. My son Aki on the floor is just like, hey, they go ahead, they fight and burst outside of the window. Man, just like octopus. Octopus hold him up by and just catch him so he don't fall to the ground. Kwanzi was like, you guys next? My son Aki just looked like he's scared for a little minute, boy. Just holding that sword, Jay. Look at that man's eyes.
Bro, you got the top three motherfucking devil hunters, bro. Assassins is at your door. What are you doing?
Man, what is this future? I don't understand this. Like, this is the part that I was saying was just throwing me off a little bit. Because now we see... The master is just telling Toka, Germany Santa Claus, and he's looking like he's a puppet. He's like, I offer my heart and my beloved children. You know what I'm saying? First off.
So why you kill yourself? In exchange, hell devil, please call all loving things in this department store to hell.
So now we have everybody within the department store. The giant hand is now just dragging everybody. To hell.
This is crazy. Bro. So I'm now getting that he made a deal with the hell devil. Who is the
hell or devil? Yo, bro, I'm thinking that hell devil have to be somebody serious because he literally used all three people that was hunting Genji at the same time besides one of the brothers.
And then he sacrificed those with the kids in the agreement.
Bruh. It seemed like there's a lot of people besides this gun devil that we ain't even reached yet. Yeah, we ain't even reached gun devil yet, bro.
Bro, we just said that these assassins are no joke, bro. Like, whatever you thought the organization was doing, whatever hitters you thought they had, they really don't, bro. I think the strongest dude is the, what's the guy named Toka? Not Toka, the old man that trains them.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the strongest dude, bro. Other than that, these other guys are just cannon fodder.
Bro, then we have, so everybody's in that dark pitch room environment. They was like asking like, yo, what the hell is this? What in the hell? And they're just looking around. Even the master's just saying, have a good trip, Toka. We see a hand just coming down from the sky, bro. Snatching up the whole entire building. and then what seems to be a jump skip to another dimension.
The hand is deteriorating, and then now they're in another dimension. Mm-hmm. The Hell Devil is no joke, bro. Christmas, Germany, Santa Claus, that nigga ain't no joke, bro.
Were they all working in hand with each other?
It seems like it. It seems like it was some last final million. Like, listen, we all got the same goal in mind. Let's help each other take out the enemy. Mm-hmm. They are facing a big organization. It would make sense to join hands and arms and take down this big organization.
Shit.
And the enemy.
Bro, what do you give this chapter, Bobby?
This shit was certified platinum because at the end of the day, bro. Mm-hmm. Hell Devil, bro. Like, I definitely get to see Germany Santa Claus just bring it up a notch. I never expected him to have this type of power. I thought it just ended with puppets. I didn't know that he had this last trick up his sleeve.
Boy.
And that must have been a big ass sleeve, because you see that arm? You see that hand?
Yes, sir.
Goddamn.
The finger just reaching over the little kid's heads, bro, while they just go ahead and eat it?
I'm trying to figure out what is this going to bring, bro, because it's just crazy, bro. Like, what is going to happen next chapter? Is niggas dying?
Bro, we got a lot of interesting stories for a lot of manga. Even a lot of new anime, even old anime, people still got questions. But now that people finally had a time, since it seems like they're going to be quarantined within their households, I suggest everybody just watch animes that they haven't, read what they couldn't before, and get on it. You got time now. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what promised tomorrow.
Yo, this is a promised Neverland we live in.
Shit.
I'm surprised the demons ain't pop out yet.
Boy. They here. You just can't see them.
But thank you, Shonen, bro. You've been giving me bear heat in this time.
Bear heat.
I'm just forever grateful. Thank you, Tabata. Thank you, Shirai. Thank you, Tokugi. Thank you, Oda. Thank you, Kishimoto. Thank you, Godoji. Thank you, Horikoshi. Bro. Definitely needed that. You definitely needed that, Shirai. You definitely needed that chapter. That chapter came at the right time. I don't know if you planned this ahead or you just switched it up, but definitely this wasn't planned ahead, because you definitely put that coronavirus in there. That was the goal. I think Promised Neverland had the best chapter.
Yes, bro. Yes, bro. Because Neverland, with everything going to, before the world went to shit. Before the world went to shit. We were getting the art of good storytelling. And now that we just placed in this ironic fucking similar situation that is comparable to a fucking children's story. It's so fucking relatable, because it's like this coronavirus has got us locked down. We can't go nowhere. We can't escape our farm. Our house is our farm. Government is the fucking demons.
And Trump is Peter Rattray.
Boy. Who taking Peter down?
The Russians and the motherfuckers, the demons, nigga. Trump is Peter Rattray. Like, yeah, fuck all the fools. Eat them. Virus.
Oh, man.
Don't touch me.
Yo, OG, go ahead and close this out, please.
Yeah, man. It's your boy, OG Bobby, a.k.a. Bobby Nobunaga, a.k.a. OG D. Uchiha, a.k.a. Momoshiki's Vessel. This is Booyah Wave Radio, baby. We signing out. Look out for the video. We coming to YouTube. I know we've been talking about it for a minute, but well, after this quarantine pass and y'all motherfuckers get cured, we definitely coming to YouTube, and we definitely hitting y'all with some fire. So thank you for all the support. Thank you for staying listening to us. I'm here with my boy
Imperial _ Lion _ Gunning Young Lambino on Twitter. No, the Morgan of this shit, where there's a story and a scoop, we're going to get the word out to your people by any means necessary. And on that note, Shibuya Wave Radio.
Signing out.